Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to take an adventure with rugged capability and commanding style. Check out the Honda Ridgeline, Pilot, Passport, or CRV. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 1.99% APR on a 2025 Ridgeline or a 3.99% APR on a 2025 Pilot, 2026 Passport, or 2025 CRV.
See dealer for financing details.
Hey everybody, what you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. Let's go to the history of the movie, though, because it all starts with Tim Burton. You're all nerds who listen to Retronauts. I don't really need to tell you who Tim Burton was. If you've been alive, he's been a presence in your life. He's a CalArts graduate. He started at Disney in the early 80s. He was catapulted to fame when Paul Reubens selected him to direct Pee-wee's Big Adventure. At Disney, they really couldn't find a good use for him because the kind of art he created wasn't really adaptable to the Disney style, because he was more of a conceptual artist on their films. He worked on things like The Black Cauldron and The Fox and the Hound and Tron. So they threw him onto things that could develop his skills and perhaps serve as short subjects for the re-releases of their older movies. He made a stop-motion short called Vincent, which is very fun, which is like, you can see his style immediately is there in that short, and that would develop into things like The Nightmare Before Christmas and Corpse Bride. And then Frankenweenie, which was a 30-minute short that Disney hated, and they kind of fired him based on the tone of that. But then as soon as he became famous, they put it out on video, and it's like, from the director of Batman, it's Frankenweenie. And then that eventually became a full-length stop-motion feature. So Disney was a big backer of Burton, and he'll go back to Disney every once in a while to work with them. He just did a Dumbo remake that can't be good, but he never burned bridges with that company. I see, Diamond, you're just shaking your head there the mention of the Dumbo remake.
I feel like it's in the way it became full circle. Like, he had a whole thing going for a good decade or two where it's like the Tim Burton experience, and then somehow that became folded into like corporate speak. It's like, oh, now it's a Tim Burton copyright experience. You know, it's an old movie, but Tim Burton's doing it, you know? And there's gotta be like a 15-year-old video online. I think it's College Humor, of like what Tim Burton does, like the Tim Burton creative process. And they've got a guy, and it's like, you know, he's meeting with his crew, and his crew is exhausted because all his ideas are the same thing. It's like, all right, get Johnny Depp and my wife on the phone. And the assistant opens a phone, and there's two buttons, which are Johnny Depp and, you know, Tim Burton's wife. Because
Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah.
Well, at the time it was them, but you notice whoever he's dating or married to, they have a tendency to appear in all his work. That's why Monica Bellucci is all of a sudden in the new Beetlejuice, because he's with Monica Bellucci now. And frankly, she can do better. Honestly, she can do better.
He might be a really lovely chap.
At least he's dating within his age range. He's dating appropriately. He's not a Leo DiCaprio about this.
True.
So, yeah. Yeah, he knows how to pick him, I'll say. He knows how to pick him. So he makes Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Amazing film. Check it out if you haven't seen it. It's a modest hit made for a very low budget. And it makes his vision known to filmgoers. Like, here's a guy named Burton. He makes a fun 80s comedy about a character, but it's not like anything you've ever seen before. So people are saying, who's this Tim Burton guy? Warner Brothers is investing big in him. he wants to make Batman. He's working with Sam Hamm on a Batman script. Warner Brothers is like, Batman, I don't know about this. Can you direct Hot to Trot or something? So they're giving him all these scripts that he doesn't like. And he has no idea what to do next because he wants to make Batman, but he needs to actively be working within the studio to, you know, maintain his career. So he could have very well directed Hot to Trot if not for a couple of screenwriters saving his bacon. And this is where Michael McDowell and Larry Wilson come in. So they co-wrote an episode of the Alfred Hitchcock Presents reboot that he directed. It's called The Jar. And because of their connection, they send him the script for what would become Beetlejuice. And the core idea from these two writers came from McDowell and his partner living in Massachusetts, having a lot of annoying neighbors, and from here thinking of the idea, what if a bioexorcist could scare the humans away? In other words, an exorcism but in reverse. And they're also thinking, oh, Ghostbusters is a really big hit, Poltergeist is a really big hit, horror is big in the 80s, and we need to try to get into the system and make our own movie, and this is where it all begins.
I'm not 100% convinced that a bioexorcist is the right definition for scaring people away. Because, that would be terrorism, wouldn't it?
Beetlejuice is a kind of terrorist, but that is the terminology he uses in his want ad, or in his TV commercial in the movie.
That's a great commercial.
Yeah.
It is, but also, like, ghosts scaring people away from a house, isn't that what ghosts always do in classic horror? Like, there's not really anything new happening there. I guess the only thing that's the spin on this one is the fact that there are nice ghosts who might want to hire a bad ghost. Otherwise, you know, ghost scaring people in a house is kind of like, you know, The Simpsons did that. You know, everyone did that.
Yeah, I guess you're involving capitalism, and also you're involving the job is part of capitalism as well, but it's more like a ghost for hire instead of a ghost is in the house. And it's territorial and it wants us out. In this case, the ghost just comes in to visit and spooks everybody out of the house. And then you pay him, I guess, with ghost bucks.
Yeah, honestly, watching the movie again this week, I was actually struck by how much capitalism factors into the movie. And the fact that, you know, once the ghosts become evident and the people accept them, oh, ghosts are actually real, they immediately say, oh, great, we can make money now. You know what I mean? Like, there's a hard pivot from, you know, convicted criminal Jeffrey Jones, who, you know, for 1 minute, he's like, oh, I bought this house in the countryside. I'm loving this, you know, this environment. It's like, oh, wait, there might be ghosts here. Quick, get everyone from Manhattan up here. We want to buy this entire town and turn it into like a theme park. Like his pitch makes no sense to me, but like, I see the wheels behind his brains. I'm like, oh, geez, look at this guy. Look at him.
They don't spend a lot of time on it, but it is an 80s movie, so there is an evil land developer plot. I just feel like it has to work its way into every 80s comedy. They're going to shut down the blank. In this case, we don't really see the town in, I believe, Connecticut that they're a part of. We see it briefly in the beginning. We don't really meet too many people, so we don't get a sense of this location will turn into that, and that location will turn into that. We just see the Maitland hardware store and the barber next door who's like totally lost his mind. A nice little touch I like.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird scenario in that, you know, the story takes place in Winter River, Connecticut, which I'm pretty sure does not exist. They were actually shooting up in Vermont, which is a lot more rural than most of Connecticut is. But I can also see, like, plot-wise, like, especially during the 80s, a lot of people, you know, as part of, I guess, white flight, you know, New York City had such a bad reputation in the 70s, especially. A lot of people who worked in the city sort of moved out from there into the suburbs. So you had a huge boom of people living in, like, you know, Westchester, New York, and Southwest Connecticut. Like, there was a huge push there. Like, that's how basically, you know, Greenwich, I think, transformed from a sleepy town to, like, you know, rich people neighborhood. Because, like, oh, all of a sudden, we can live here and just take the train to the city and make our money in the city.
Yeah, like, these nouveau riche folks are moving out to the countryside and ruining it with their money. And it's very much I guess Beetlejuice is also about gentrification as well.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. So, yeah, the script was written by, the initial script made by McDowell and Wilson. And it's many drafts. They contain these essential elements of Beetlejuice. But the tone of McDowell and Wilson's writing ends up being much different from the final product. There are too many differences to list here. We'll go over a few of the key ones, but if you want to read the drafts, a few of them are out there on the internet. If you want to sit through the movie scripts and read them and see what's different, these are pretty different. And just a bit more about McDowell. He was more of a horror novelist. And doing this research made me really want to go out and seek out his books because he seems to have an interesting background and he seems to have been a really good writer. And he worked with Burton once more on The Nightmare Before Christmas, though he died relatively young of an AIDS-related illness in 1999. And Larry Wilson, the other credited writer outside of the rewriter, he doesn't have a ton of writing credits, but he did write the 1991 Addams Family movie with fellow Burton scribe Caroline Thompson. So you can see, I mean, that Addams Family movie is so Burton-y. It is, I think, is it Sonnenfeld?
Barry Sonnenfeld directed that one, yes.
Yeah. He's totally doing the Burton thing, and he knows what he's doing. But a lot of people think
the music for sure. It's very
absolutely
important.
Yeah. No, don't worry about it. I mean, a lot of people think that's a Burton movie because of the way it's written and shot, and it very well could have been.
I mean, Sonnenfeld was working with the Coen brothers, but obviously he could see what Burton was picking up, and he was like, you know, if you look at his big hits, they definitely have a darkness to them that I think you could almost, I don't want to say attribute, but you could say, oh, did Tim Burton produce this? But you know. No, they're totally different people, but both kind of ended up in nowhere land.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to take an adventure with rugged capability and commanding style. Check out the Honda Ridgeline, Pilot, Passport, or CRV. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 1.99% APR on a 2025 Ridgeline or a 3.99% APR on a 2025 Pilot, 2026 Passport, or 2025 CRV.
See dealer for financing details.